Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction, Text Number 20. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. After reaching the shore of the ocean of milk, the demigods worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the Master of the whole universe, the Supreme God of all gods, provides for everyone and diminishes everyone's suffering. With great attention, they worship Lord Vishnu, who lies in the ocean of milk, by reciting the Vedic mantras known as the Purusha Sukta. Purport. The demigods such as Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, King Indra, Chandra, and Surya are all subordinate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Aside from the demigods, even in human society, there are many influential personalities supervising various businesses or establishments. Lord Vishnu, however, is the God of gods, Parameshwara. He is the Paramparusha, the Supreme Being, Paramatma. As confirmed in the Brahma Samhita 5.1, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha. Krishna, known as Govinda, is the Supreme Controller. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. No one is equal to or greater than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, he is described here by many words, Jagannath, Deva, Deva, Vishakapi, and Purusha. The supremacy of Lord Vishnu is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 10.12, in this statement by Arjuna. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan, Purusham Shasvatam Divyam, Adi Devam Ajam Vibhum. You are the Supreme Brahman, the ultimate, the supreme abode and purifier, the absolute truth and the eternal divine person. You are the primal God, transcendental and original, and you are the unborn and all-pervading beauty. Krishna is Adi Purusha, the original personality of Godhead. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Vishnu is a plenary expansion of Lord Krishna, and all the Vishnu Tattvas are Parameshwara Deva Deva. So the text again. Tatra gatva jagannatham devam devam vishakapim purusham purusha suktena upataste samahitaha. After reaching the shore of the ocean of milk, the demigods worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the Master of the whole universe, the Supreme God of all gods, provides for everyone and diminishes everyone's suffering. With great attention, they worship Lord Vishnu, who lies in the ocean of milk, reciting the Vedic mantras known as the Purusha Sukta. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamitanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyadyade Siddharane. I'm sure most of us have heard this before, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we probably heard before that we're not the body. Matter of fact, we probably heard a lot of things before. To a certain degree, we're hearing these things. But if we actually heard these things, first of all, even if we understood or realized that we're not the body, we become immediately prasannatma. Prasannatma means always joyful under all circumstances. It doesn't mean that our circumstances will necessarily be, from the material point of view, very comfortable or desirable. But one who's realized oneself, then one is always joyful, knowing oneself to be eternal. And if we realize Krishna, we'd always become blissful. And we'd know exactly what we're supposed to do at every moment. everything would be as clear, as they say, as clear as day. Now, when we hear the Bhagavatam every day, or the Bhagavad Gita, we keep on hearing the same thing over and over again, that Krishna is God and that we're eternal. Does it make any difference? Should we just hear something else, make it a little bit more interesting? Maybe we're God and Krishna is eternal? Some variety? No, actually, the whole idea is we're learning how to hear, and this is the most important thing to hear. Now, ultimately, Krishna says, janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha tyaktva deham panarjanma naiti mam eti sorjana. That one who can understand, and this understanding is called tatva. Tat means that. Easy Sanskrit word to learn if you know English, because you just add an H to the T-A-T, and you get that. So that means something which is perceivable, not just theoretical, but something that's being experienced. That's tat. And tatva means that collection of objects that are within our realm of experience. So Krishna says, janma, my appearance, and karma, my activities, one who knows them by direct experience, that they become liberated and don't have to take birth again in the material world. Now, this tattva is also mentioned in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, as well as in the 11th chapter, where Krishna says, Bhaktyamam abhijananti yavanyaschasmi tattvataha tatomam tattvato gyatva vishate tad anantaram. That one can know me by experience as the Supreme Personality of Godhead only through the process of bhakti. And when one is actually engaged in such a process of bhakti, then one can enter into the mysteries of my understanding. So it's quite mysterious what it's like to be blissful all the time, always in ecstasy, enjoying different varieties of pleasure, as opposed to material existence and suffering different varieties of misery. So it's quite mysterious, what would that life be like, where we're always blissful, always completely aware of everything in reality, never faced with the prospect of suffering, or never being fearful of dying or fearful of anything, what would that existence be like? So one has to become a little jignasu. Jignasu Shreya Uttama. The ultimate purpose of becoming inquisitive is not to find out who won the football game, or who's going to win the presidency, or how the war in Syria is going to turn out. That's not the ultimate inquisitiveness. It's Shreya Uttama. What is the highest stage of experience for us to actually want to come to that platform of experience? By direct experience. Now, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that tadvidi prani patena pari prashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshanaha. So this tattva darshana, again we have the word tattva. This actual experience of Krishna's tattva darshana, direct experience of Krishna, is possible by becoming inquisitive about the Shreya Uttama. And we have to approach someone who knows the truth. So how do we know if someone knows the truth? Because if we give him a test, he can get 100%? No, one who knows the truth is one whose Prabhupada said is the most addicted to Krishna. At least we can understand if someone is always talking about Krishna, they must have some addiction to Krishna. But it's not just Krishna, it's Krishna's activities. And Krishna's activities were displayed 5,000 years ago when he was here dancing with the gopis or playing with the cowherd boys or breaking the pot of yogurt, as we heard today, and running for Mother Jasoda. But these activities are all on the spiritual platform. Obviously, by breaking pots of yogurt, we're not going to become self-realized. Or we may try to dance with the deity of Krishna, but we won't go very far in terms of our self-realization. We may even take a rope and threaten Krishna. If you're naughty, I'm going to bind you with this rope. But this is all imitation. Therefore, Krishna came 500 years ago as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to show us how we ourselves in this age of Kali can practically utilize this present body, our present words, even our present thoughts in such a way as to make progress in reviving our relationship with Krishna and therefore inspiring Krishna to reveal himself to us. We may have noticed that it is not simply external activities which oblige Krishna to reveal himself, nor is it even our correct perception of things. Why does Krishna reveal himself? Because he sees we're sincere and we're actually trying to develop what? To develop the desire to become part of his mission. That is his servant. It is not really possible to progress in Krishna consciousness without progressing in the service attitude, and that service attitude is becoming absorbed in Lord Krishna's mission. Of course, Krishna has a big mission. The mission is everywhere. In this universe, in all the universes, 24 hours a day. And the mission is, we hear on two sides, smarta vyaksaratam vishnur vismartak jatuna kinchit seva sarva vidi nisedyasyur etayar eva kinkara. That one should always remember Vishnu or Krishna and never forget him. That's the nishta or nishida and the veda. Sarva Vidi and the Nisheda, that is, the Vidi is to always remember Krishna, Nisheda is never to forget him. But we can try to do that. It may become a little difficult. Just like one devotee I know, or I knew, he decided he was always going to remember Krishna. So he got this harmonica stand that you play harmonica with, and he put the Maha Mantra in front of his eyes. So everywhere he looked, he could only see the Maha Mantra. That's one way of trying to remember Krishna. He wasn't very successful, though. Just like you may paint the Hare Krishna Mantra on the back of your eyelids, so every time you blink, you see Krishna. But it may not be very successful. In his particular case, he was chanting Hare Krishna and walking around the temple room all day long with his harmonica stand with the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in front of him. But then he became bored, so he started to walk around the temple itself, and then he started to walk around the block, and he started to walk around the block, and one day he disappeared. Along with a harmonica stand. Therefore, there must be a better way. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Yari Deka Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesh, Amar Aga Guruhana Taridesh. Whoever we meet, we should try to help them remember Krishna. Remember Krishna means help them somehow or another make a little progress towards following Krishna's instructions, becoming part of Krishna's mission. As Vaishyasika Prabhu would say, just like we may go on book distribution, we may meet someone and not everyone is very receptive. But even if they don't stop, even if they don't take a book, even if they don't give a donation, still we try to be positive and friendly towards them in the hope that somehow or another they appreciate someone being positive and friendly towards them. They become positive and friendly, too, towards a devotee who represents the Sankirtan movement. I remember going to Bhuktisution, and I still use the same lines. When people would pass by, I used to say, "Excuse me, are you from here or out of town?" Rather boring line, unless you're really in ecstasy. And unless you're really kind of innocent, if you hear that one time, you never stop again. But when people would pass by and I'd go look at their shoes and go, "Wow, look at those shoes, that's fantastic." Immediately they'd stop. Because finally, out of the hundreds of people they met that day, finally someone recognized the color of shoes that they had. And after all, they put on those shoes because they wanted to be recognized. Whatever t-shirt people have, whatever shoes they have, whatever hairstyle they have, whatever ring they have going through their nose or ears or tongue, is all meant so that someone will recognize them and hopefully appreciate them. So we see someone and we go, "Oh, wow." Then immediately they stop. Finally, someone has recognized me. And immediately they become struck with wonder also. Who is that? Who is my devotee out there? Who is my surrendered soul? Who's seen through my coverings and can actually see my inner self? So that appreciation we have to develop towards others. Otherwise, how will they actually want to hear from us? If we go, "Wow, look at those disgusting shoes." Do you think the person will stop? Maybe they will stop and they'll go, "Whack." They probably won't want to hear about our book or anything else that we have to say. But we go, "Wow, look at those shoes, the effulgence, I'm blinded." Then they want to stop and say, "Yes." And we go, "Sorry, I'm so-and-so." And then they want to meet you too. "Yes, my devotee, long-lost devotee, I'd love to meet you." So that's what Prabodhananda Saraswati has said. Trinadakam, something I forget actually. Trinad, the blade of grass, taking it between apatyam, taking it between my feet and falling down, flattering you 1,000 times. Because the whole world is looking, everyone in the material world is simply looking for someone to appreciate them. Why do people like their mother, usually, or used to like their mothers? Because the mother would be one person in the world who would appreciate someone. Even one who's the most hardened criminal, "Still, you're my child. I love you anyhow." Probably Adolf Hitler's mother said, "Oh, Adolf, I love you." So everyone is looking for someone who can appreciate them. And therefore, we want to hear from them because we understand that if someone appreciates us, if they love us, then they have our interests at heart. They want the best for us. They want something good for us. Therefore, one has to develop that vision of what is that vision? It's a very simple vision that I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Now, I may not have love for everyone that I meet. I may not have love for anyone I meet. I may not have any love, at least externally. But if I'm a servant of my spiritual master coming into simple succession, and they are connected with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission and ultimately with Krishna himself and his activities, name, form, quality, and pastimes, then it's all in the nature of prema. Nitya Siddha, Krishna Prema, Sarakabanoi, Shravanadi, Shudachite, Koryaudai. That for one who's actually awakened love for Krishna within the heart, then they love everyone in relationship to Krishna. So we contact our spiritual master in disciplic succession, not just their forms, but their instructions, coming into their vision of reality, their activities in the midst of that vision. They're trying to spread the Sankirtan movement. We appreciate our spiritual authorities not because of the way they look, or the way they sing, the way they talk, but how much they're absorbed in trying to spread the Sankirtan movement. When Jayadvaita Swami and Satsarup Maharaj were walking with Srila Prabhupada on a morning walk, it was mentioned about Jayadvaita Swami asked Srila Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, I see, or we see, sometimes the spiritual master seems to make mistakes. He misquotes verses, he may fall asleep, but how are you to understand this if the spiritual master is perfect?" Just like one boy at 26 Second Avenue, he came into 26 Second Avenue and Prabhupada was giving class, and he stood up and said out loud, he said, "They tell me this man is perfect, but he's wearing glasses. How can he be perfect?" And he left. That's why I don't wear glasses. No. So that's not the perfection of life, is not to wear glasses or to become, know exactly every verse and pronounce it perfectly. Prabhupada said, "No, you don't understand what perfection is. Perfection is how one is preaching the Sankirtan movement. That's the perfection. How one is dedicated oneself to the service of Krishna." Prabhupada said, "Not that the spiritual master or any spiritual authority knows everything. Only Krishna knows everything. Because Krishna tells us whatever we have to know in order to spread the Sankirtan movement, as much as we're surrendered, then we're receptive to what Krishna is trying to tell us. In any case, simply our effort, our desire to repeat the message, to repeat the instructions, to follow the example of those who are actually absorbed in spreading the Sankirtan movement, that itself is our perfection. Just like one wants to learn how to distribute books, then one can learn from those who are actually expert at distributing books, or more expert than one is. Everyone has their expertise. One can learn from so many devotees, so many different things, because in some way or another, they're a little bit better than we are. And therefore, we can learn from them how they're helping to spread the Sankirtan movement. And what are we learning all these things for? It's simply so we can help others also participate in the Sankirtan movement, taking prasadam, hearing about Krishna, donating some energy in some way to the Sankirtan movement. Some or another act as an instrument to inspire Krishna or to inspire the living entity to take up the Sankirtan movement, the Sankirtan mission. So does that mean that we're becoming all merciful? No. Actually, Prabhupada writes in the Nectar Devotion that one should not think himself to be a great devotee. One should simply think himself to be an instrument for the previous acharyas. And by serving the previous acharyas, one may do some good to one's, for oneself and for others. Or as Krishna told Arjuna, "Nimitra matram bhavasavasachin. Tasmat tvamutisha yashola basva." Do something to get fame, but not fame for oneself, because we don't even know who we are. What good is it if we soak this body for us to become famous? But we want to become famous as Krishna's devotee, because that will make Krishna famous. And get up, do something. Arjuna was lamenting, "Oh, I'm so fallen. Oh, I have such a bad thing to do. I don't want to do it. I think I'm going to run away. I think I'm going to go to sleep. Wake me up when the whole thing's over. I can't bear to look at blood." No, tasmat tvamutishti sholavasva jitva shatrum bukshva rajan samridam. And enjoy a flourishing kingdom. Enjoy an atmosphere of Krishna consciousness. There he put to death by my arrangement. Everything has already been accomplished by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, but you can become an instrument for this endeavor. So we're trying to become an instrument to help others. And as I said, it's a 24-hour day, 27 days a week, 365 days a year service. Read Prabhupada's books, chant Hare Krishna, pray to the Super Soul within our heart. As it says, one of my favorite verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Shiksha Guru Ke Ta Jani Krishnara Sarup Antaryami Bhakta Shrestha Adui Rup. That Krishna has appeared in this world to help the conditioned souls in two forms. One is the Antaryami as the Super Soul in our heart, who we can ask. We can inquire from him. He's very happy to respond. Either he'll give us intelligence directly, or he'll tell us who to inquire from, or he'll tell us where to go in the scriptures to find the answer to our questions. And externally, Krishna's appearing as the best of the devotees, who is engaged in unalloyed, uninterrupted service to Krishna. He can tell everyone, whoever he meets, he can tell them exactly what to do under all circumstances so that one can become more enthusiastically and more consistently engaged in Krishna's service and therefore awaken one's love for Krishna. So we may not be on that platform, but if we follow such a liberated person's instructions, then gradually we'll get realizations and we'll be able to give those realizations to others also and help them make further progress. Therefore, our real meditation, 24 hours a day, is what am I supposed to do right now in order to help spread the Sankirtan movement? That may mean I'm supposed to go to sleep right now. Not that I don't go to sleep anymore because 24 hours a day I'm going to serve the Sankirtan movement and, you know, whatever I'm going to do all day long and now I'm stirring the pot of rice or the pot of dal and I fall into the pot of dal because I fall asleep spreading the Sankirtan movement. Now I'm in the hospital preaching to the nurses. No, that's all right. I mean, we're so sincere that we really want to preach to the nurses. Krishna will arrange it. But actually, we're supposed to use our intelligence. Krishna is very intelligent. He does everything very systematically. He does everything very appropriate according to time, place, and audience or circumstance. So if we're in contact with Krishna and his devotees, then our lives will become regulated. They'll become sane. They'll come to at least in the mode of goodness, if not the mode of pure goodness, and we'll become joyful, we'll become convinced, we'll become patient, we'll be able to do everything appropriately at the right time and place with full conviction and full enthusiasm, and therefore we'll be very happy eternally. So in summary, if we want to understand Krishna, we have to take shelter of the example and the instructions of those who have perfectly taken shelter of the example instructions and therefore are able to teach us how to see those instructions and example in so many living entities, so many pure, so many devotees, so many different, even living entities, and take them as our instructors and take them as an opportunity to act as instruments for the previous acharyas to help every living entity make progress in their relationship to Krishna somehow or another. And the more we become sincere like that, then the more Krishna will empower us, give us intelligence, so that we can become instruments. We can get out of Krishna's way. We can give up our material desires to become prominent in this world, to become the center of attraction, to enjoy the material energy through our senses. And still, instead, we can make Krishna in everything we're doing the center. Make Krishna's happiness the center of our attention, and therefore actually make our lives sublime and fruitful. So, I'll stop there. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Comments?